Welcome to the program. You know, it's hard to believe that it's almost at the end of 2019. This year has gone fast. And 2020 is coming up. I know a lot of people are excited about that. I think just the fact that it's 2020, first of all, it sounds very futuristic. But people have also played off the metaphor like clear vision. It could be one of those amazing years for them. And I hope it is. I hope it is for you. I thought we'd talk a little bit about things that maybe we might want to let go in order to enter into a new year a little more lightly and perhaps manifest a little more clearly. I couldn't think of anyone better to join me on today's program to talk about that than my friend Adrienne Villegas. She's been on the program before. Adrienne practices healing touch energy work. She teaches classes and offers spiritual guidance sessions at Materia Medica Herbal Blending Bar in Greenwood. And she also co-teaches a plant meditation class at Wild Persimmon School of Wellness. I'm Richard Brendan, and you're listening to Journey's Fire. Adrienne, it's great to have you back. I couldn't think of anyone better I would want to have conversation with regarding end of the year, beginning of the new, letting go, resetting, all those kind of things, but all culminating into living your best life, which I think everybody in their heart really wants to do. And I don't know how I feel about resolutions, but even I try to take advantage of the energy coming in. And so because I've gone to you many times for sessions on energy work, I've always valued what you pick up. So we're just going to have some conversation about that and see what insights you might be able to share our listeners out there who were wanting to improve their life a little bit.
Well, I'll tell you, I always try to start with drinking enough water. That's the place I always find myself, trying to focus.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that because over the holidays, with my family extended and other parties going on with offices and such, I've realized between coffee, a little bit of alcohol, those kind of things, I forgot to drink a lot of water, and my body was starting to feel achy.
Yeah.
So that is an important thing to bring up.
Yeah, for sure. And it's not just that the holidays is when we're dehydrated. That's when we probably feel our worst. Mm-hmm. So that's at least one place that we can combat.
Yeah.
You know.
What do you do as you head into a year, current year, ended out, and you think about a new year? I mean, do you have resolutions, or do you recommit to certain things, or do you do anything at all different?
I feel like I'm trying to just purge right now, like all my false beliefs and, all the things that have given me anxiety and, behaviors of my own and behaviors of others that have disturbed me. I just really am trying to reflect and disconnect and just really kind of let go of things that plague my mind, that take my energy.
You said something I think really important. I guess that's what I do too, and that's purging false beliefs. What are some false beliefs do you think people still carry with them that they, if they're not aware, they need to be more aware of to let go then?
Oh.
I know one of the false beliefs that I've heard and that I've experienced in my life is the false belief of not enough.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Not being enough.
Right.
Or not comparing ourselves with each other. That's a huge one. We really need to stop comparing ourselves with each other.
And how much does social media play into that? Because I've heard a lot of people talk about that lately.
It plays a huge role, but that depends on your intentions for social media. If your intentions are, to go on to social media and tell everybody how great you are, then, you're going to probably get caught up in how everybody else might be better. It just really depends on what you use social media for.
Yeah.
But looking at everybody else's life and thinking that everybody else is perfect and, that we need to somehow measure up to it is definitely, progressive thinking, I think instead of focusing on the problem, I think more people could focus on the solution instead, because I think focusing on solution allows us to let go of anxiety, finding a way not to have that problem again instead of fearing that it's always going to happen.
Yeah, whether that problem be within ourselves or within society or what have you, if we keep feeding on that, then that's what we get.
Right.
Definitely. Yeah. So what are some tips do you have or that's helped you in changing that when certain things come up? First of all, I would think step number one is be aware of it.
For sure. Observation, self-observation, observation of how our bodies feel. My heartbeat is racing and I'm on fire in the middle of my gut. What? Why? Why am I having this reaction right now? What is the false truth in this that I need to examine? Mm-hmm. Or just avoiding things, you know, why do I feel like I need to, you know, avoid this? You know, basically just examining ourselves and our own beliefs and how our beliefs influence our physics, the way our bodies work.
Yeah, a lot of false truths. You've talked about this before when you've been on the air, and it reminds me of one of my favorite books, The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz, mm-hmm. where we do make unconscious agreements all our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Agreements,
sure.
Belief systems about ourselves, whether it be not enough or I'm stupid or I'm not good looking. And sometimes it's unconscious, sometimes it's conscious. But I don't know, psychologists say we have anywhere from 67 to 80-some thousand thoughts every 24 hours. Most of them unconscious, of course.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And if we are making agreements of things that don't serve us,
mm-hmm.
that's really not helping us at all. And so those are the things. So the awareness is really the first step for that.
For sure. I like to pay I like to think of my thoughts as a train rolling by. And I try and pay attention to which cars I get on. You know, why am I thinking about this right now? What is it? What is it inside of me that is trying to rationalize this thought? Or what, you know, can I let go of this because it means nothing? You know, why did I get on this train, basically?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we are what you think, I believe.
When did you first start learning, though, how to, when a train came in, that you know it didn't feel good, it didn't serve you, when did you start developing the discipline to stop and step back and reexamine it? Because that seems to be the hardest thing.
I read A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle, mm-hmm. and that was a huge a shift mm-hmm. and being aware of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I would highly recommend anyone because it's just truth after truth after truth and awareness after awareness.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, which is really those who are familiar with Eckhart Tolle, maybe some of you aren't. The Power of Now was his first breakthrough book.
Mm-hmm.
He's had quite a few since then. But it's all about just being present.
For sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that allows you to save so much energy.
Yes. Yes.
And find the magic that's right there, you know, all the little signs that you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just being present and mm-hmm. not fighting away what's happening in this moment to think about something else.
And what happens for you when you can stay present, whether it be to a person, to a situation, to a moment?
I find gratitude mm-hmm. for that moment. I find thankfulness. I hear things that I need to hear.
Yeah.
You know, I get the healing that I need to get from my environment, you know, mm-hmm. sometimes from my children, you mm-hmm. know. It's just a beautiful little spring of peace is being in the present moment.
From the environment and from your children. So now we're talking about energy, which is up your alley. You work a lot with energy.
For sure.
Let's refresh ourselves about energy. Talk about the importance of energy and recognizing it, and then maybe we can get into how we can shift it, because that's what you certainly do in your sessions,
mm-hmm.
whether it be in person or over the phone too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we're all made of energy. We know that. Physics tells us we are energy. I personally work with the nervous system and the energetics of the human body, which mm-hmm. influences cell growth and cognition and memory and all those things that, you know, your aliveness creates.
Mm-hmm.
And so I basically, with my work, I try to work at clearing away the stress and the trauma on the body so that your energy has more power and that you feel more capable and present to your world, and that you're able to move your energy forward for others and help others heal just by being present. There's really just so many different ways that we could talk about that.
Yeah. Well, with quantum physics, I mean, it's proven many, many years ago now, and people can call it many other different things, even law of attraction, but it's really mm-hmm. based in quantum physics. We're all subatomic particles mm-hmm. vibrating at a high rate of speed, which can really trip your mind a little bit because the chairs we're sitting on really are not solid, is what it says. They are very, very tiny subatomic particles
That's right.
vibrating, which is why energy can be shifted.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that also allows for us to receive and be affected by other energies around us because mm-hmm. There is space in between our protons and neutrons and electrons. Mm-hmm.
You shared a practice with me that you do, and you sent it to me. I believe you call it putting on the armor.
No, the armor of God.
Armor of God.
Yes.
Talk about that.
As an energy practitioner and as an empath, when I first started practicing energy, I started feeling the stress and the aches and pains and the emotional junk from the clients that I would see usually about a week beforehand. And I had really no idea what was happening because this was all very new at that point. And so I had a friend who was a card reader, and he said, "Oh, you got to put on your light suit." And so it's just put yourself in a suit of light to protect you from the energies around you. And so I started doing that with my clients, and I slowly developed that into a daily practice, because it's not only with my clients that I'm, you know, experiencing mm-hmm. other people's energy. I think biblically it says that, you know, spiritual battles are the battle. It's not a battle between men, but it's a spiritual battle.
Yes.
And especially for empaths who are very aware of the spiritual battles within others that are so sensitive and then takes it on for themselves, mm-hmm. it's important for us to protect ourselves against spiritual battles for everyone. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't know how sensitive we are.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I put that on every day, every time I go to work, every time I go to the store, you know, anytime I go to any kind of a stressful situation, I put that on. And then when I leave, I take it off and I put on a new armor of God.
And so what do you say, though, when you put that on? There's some words that you use to help you visualize, I think.
Absolutely. I do visualize. I visualize the suit, basically, like strappy sandals, and I put a belt on and a chest plate and a helmet and a sword and a shield, and that raises my vibration. And so usually I will hear "I am love" when I put that on. After a while, I practicing this, my imagination just kind of took it where it would. And then I found, you know, in the Bible, Ephesians. I found it there, and mm-hmm. I thought, I have been doing this for a long time. Mm. So it's kind of like my soul just knew what I needed already.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was really neat. But when you look at the word armor, and its Greek root, amor, it means love. And so it's essentially, it's like putting on the love of God. Mm. And that's why when I put it on, I always hear, "I am love." Mm-hmm. "I am all there is and all mm-hmm. there ever will be. I am mm-hmm. love." And so like that little affirmation, I'll do it again if I don't hear that little, mm-hmm. you know, affirmation that mm-hmm. I'm loved, I'm protected,
yeah.
you know, and that I'm being loved by my source.
Yeah. So the discipline is doing that mm-hmm. before you head out, and especially before you head out in what might possibly be a stressful situation.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. And maybe not. And that love just radiates from me to others. Mm-hmm. You know.
What I love is when you study spirituality, so much of it is the same. We just use different terminologies. Mm-hmm. When you shared with me during a session about what you call the armor of God and what you do, mm-hmm. and that brought up Ephesians, because mm-hmm. even in the Bible it talks about that. It reminded me of a conversation I had with an Amish healer by the name of Solomon Wicke. Mm-hmm. So last meeting I had with him, he has since passed away, but I asked him when I was with him up north of Fort Wayne at the time. I said, "Solomon," because I knew he was a believer, I said, "Do you see spirit and energy as the same thing?" And without missing a beat, he said, "Oh, yes, they're exactly the same thing." Mm-hmm. So that's, and I've learned in death and dying that who we really are not our bodies. Our bodies are just parking garages for the soul.
Right.
Who we really are is spirit or consciousness or love. You can pick a word. Mm-hmm. And that constantly lives on through all eternity.
Right.
So what we're talking about is taking care of our vehicles,
mm-hmm,
as hopefully
for sure
we do with our real vehicles, mm-hmm, to get the longest and best ride we can get in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. I think getting back to plants and natural methods of, you know, just maintaining ourselves, not necessarily medicine, because that means you have to be sick to do it, I think, mm-hmm, but just maintaining ourselves more naturally and just being aware of our needs as a human, you know, sleep, water, nutrients, you know, those kind of things. I think that's probably, for me, the best way to honor this body that serves the spirit.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
that was provided for us.
So drinking water is usually important, but you mentioned plants, you mentioned nutrients. Can you talk a little bit more about that and the work that you do in terms of a wellness, holistic health, holistic eating even?
Mm-hmm, for sure. So I work for a spa. It's called Materia Medica Herbal, mm-hmm, Blending Bar. It's an apothecary spa. And my partners are herbalists and health coach and just amazing, beautiful souls, Karen and Sarah. And what we do there is we treat our clients holistically. So meaning we look at diet, we look at the nervous system response to stresses, we look at the skin, we look at, you know, just everything that you can, you know, think of a holistic. It's a holistic spa.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, Karen, being the head herbalist, if you will, she and I usually will collaborate together with clients. And she usually does the herbal part, and we talk about, you know, different herbs that will help the nervous system and, mm-hmm, that will help, you know, calming down the gut and all those things. We work together, you know, hand in hand with just treating the whole body.
Yeah. Yeah. And how important is that? Treating the whole body instead of just various aspects, because oftentimes, because of TV mostly, you see as it gets closer to New Year's and after Christmas, all these ads on gyms and on the training machines, but no one's really talking about this other stuff that we're talking about.
Like what you're feeding your body.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I feel like that's, everyone knows that. There's just plenty of excuses that we make for ourselves not,
mm-hmm,
to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm,
you can work out all you want, but if your heart's broken and, you know, your spirit's broken, then working out's not going to help that.
Yeah.
You know? And what I like about plants is that they actually work in that way too. They,
mm-hmm,
actually work to help heal the spirit and to heal the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny to say that because most people don't understand that, but they're conscious little energies as well.
Yeah.
And not just by eating them, but having them present.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're healers as well. So
yeah,
that's the fun part of it. I've started energetically connecting with plants.
Uh-huh.
And I'm teaching a class at the Wild Persimmons Medical or Wild Persimmons Herbal School of Wellness.
Yes,
and
yes.
The plants that we connect with when each person has a different experience, and there's some things that just I had never expected to happen. Advice. They give advice. They don't want to talk about politics.
Uh-huh,
you know,
uh-huh.
They talk about their strengths and what their duties are and what they're there to, how they're there to serve the land and you know, the abilities that they have to protect the land as well.
Yeah.
So bringing more plants into your house is helpful for sure. Making a deeper connection with the earth,
mm-hmm,
I think is a necessity for 2020.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that people need to start recognizing that the earth is alive and not just something that we walk on,
yeah,
or build our houses on.
Yeah.
There's so much love and energy in plants, and that they essentially just are here to support our life.
I loved what you said about how plants speak to us. I know Robert Moss, the great dream expert, has come on the show, and he actually had one book about this where trees speak to him.
Oh, yeah.
And if we're wise enough to hear, of course, mm-hmm, you know, we get into our mode in society and we want to cut them down, you know, to build houses,
mm-hmm,
or whatever. But that's huge. Vitamin E, I'm trying to remember the environmentalist that coined that, but it's so important to be out in nature. Even if you don't yet know how to hear the plants or the trees speak to you. Mm-hmm. Their energy is speaking.
For sure.
Which is why it's so important, especially for kids in the inner city, to have opportunities to get out to the parks as well.
Absolutely. I know there's some programs where people, the companies are bringing gardening to the schools. We have one at our school, and that's really awesome. Big beds, and the kids all water it, and they talk about, you know, how to take care of them, and how, you know, and it gives them an opportunity to love something
new,
that maybe they're not learning at home, but it's been an awesome experience for our school.
I mean, isn't that probably the most practical thing to be taught in school?
I think we're going to see more of
how to grow food and plants and things.
Some schools have chickens, and I'd say we're a pretty progressive school where we're at, but are, you know, bringing survival teachings on how to, you know, take care of yourself and getting back to the earth and, you know, animals and things like that. Kids love animals,
they
just absolutely do. So I don't know, just seems like I'm watching too many videos of animals on Facebook, and I could just probably go for a walk or something.
You mentioned animals. I've been a follower of the Gentle Barn out in California. Ellie Lax, who's been on the show also, who founded it many years ago now, but her and her husband and kids were off. They bought a pig that was on the auction barn, and they were able to buy the pig before it got slaughtered, and they were bringing the pig back to the Gentle Barn. And I don't know how many animals they have now, because they have Ellen DeGeneres and all these other people backing them financially, but it's their passion for that too. But I've learned so much between John Robbins and them about animals and the feelings they have and how bright they are. And, you know, if we don't start learning how to companion with the animals, with the earth as human beings, we're not going to have much of a planet left. And I think we're seeing that right now with global warming and everything else taking place.
I agree. I feel like there's so much that we can learn just from talking to ourselves. When we start being in the present moment, and we start reaching out and talking with our plants and relating to our animals and being more present to life, you know, I think that we'd probably solve a lot more problems than watching it on the news. You know, and really I can only control what's right here in my space, you know.
Well, it's all about self-love.
Yeah.
Which gets back into a lot of the work that you do in terms of self-love, self-healing, those kind of things. What are some things that come to your mind that if you could wave a magic wand, you would love as many people as possible to start doing and implementing in their life just for their sake? You mentioned drinking water. I know we keep beating that drum, but even in death and dying work, grief work, we always say the number one thing is please at least drink 7 or 8 glasses of water a day now, because grief will drain you in ways that you can't understand. And you need that in your body so you can grieve in a healthy way. So water's important. I would think sleep is
definitely a good one.
We often don't think about that. No. But
it affects so much of our mood as well. I think meditation. I really like meditation. And I say that because I know that meditation will always bring you back to yourself. Meditation will tell you how to care for yourself. Meditation will advise you on how to handle your problems. You know, meditation will bring you back to what's important. It always does. It always has the answers. It's always with logic and wisdom. And, you know, if we're all one and we're all made of this one energy, then getting back to that one energy that we all share to find our wisdom, you know, I think if other people realize that they could communicate with that energy that is all of us and find our wisdom, I would love that. That would be amazing. That would open up a space for, you know, for light to meet the earth. And to create bliss. And that would, I think that would be my number one suggestion, is for people to actually get to their heart, meditate, and look for their wisdom within.
What brought you to meditation in your life?
I think I just always did meditate and I didn't realize it. But I started writing to myself and then writing back. That's how I started meditating. And then as I had energy work done. Mm-hmm. I think that was my first real opportunity to have a real meditation. Mm-hmm. And then I had to decide how I could get myself to that meditative state without having to have energy work done.
Yeah.
And so I just learned different methods, you know, of relaxing my mind and just making every intention I could to get back to that space where I could find the answers to my problems and and forgiveness for myself.
I remember years ago when I finally started living a healthy life and I walked into my first, healthy grocery store. It was Wild Oats at the time, and it was scary for me because I didn't know what any of this stuff was. Mm-hmm. Maybe as a Christian, people are familiar with prayer, but then I heard about meditation. It's like, wow, I mean, how do you meditate? So for our listeners, why don't you break it down what you mean by meditation and why it is important? Because it really is about quieting the mind because we process constantly as human beings.
Yeah. And I really think that even those things that you can't quiet sometimes, those are huge to work through while you're in that space. Okay, why am I feeling this? Why does this keep coming back up? Mm-hmm. But for me, I connect with the earth and I connect with my source. And I go through a daily mantra that allows me to raise my own, vibration, but change my belief system about myself and what, you know, I'm capable of and who I am. And I go through all of the chakras with this meditation, with this mantra, and I get to the point where I'm connected to love. And I know when I'm connected to love because everything is just absolutely brilliant and vibrant, and I feel amazing. And it can be achieved by absolutely anyone who tries. And so when I get to that place where I feel like I'm receiving, you know, positive energy flowing through my body, and I'm receiving logic and wisdom and love through my questions, and you know, I'd just lay there and feel it for a while. Mm-hmm. That helps me be a better mother, a better friend, a better everything, a better teacher, a better healer. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the place that I go for wisdom and solitude, I believe.
Is it possible that you could take us through that?
Sure.
Yeah.
So I start with paying attention to my heartbeat, and I listen to my heartbeat. And then I start breathing in. Take three breaths, or a breath in for three heartbeats, and then I hold it for three heartbeats, and I blow it out for three heartbeats, so that I can breathe and pay attention to my heart at the same time. And I do that for several minutes, breathing in, holding, breathing out, paying attention to your heartbeat. Bring an awareness to about a foot below your feet. This is what I like to call the earth chakra. And that's kind of like your negative node. If your body was a battery, this is the negative node. And it connects you to the earth because you're made of the earth. And I tell myself, I am divine rhythms of earth. And I wait for a minute and I feel myself expand in that area. And then I'll start to feel the energy of the earth rising up to my knees. This is my root chakra. It's the color red. I like to pay attention to its vibration, to its color, to its shape, what it's doing. And I say to myself, I am divine rhythms of structure. And I feel that radiate for a little while. I feel those vibrations move through my legs, not my body. And I bring my awareness to the space between my pelvic bone and my belly button. And this is where you'll find your sacral chakra. It's the color orange. Again, I get a really good look at my sacral chakra. What is it doing? What colors is it putting off? Is it radiating? And here I tell myself, I am divine rhythms of creator. And I bring my intentions to my awareness to my stomach right there, my sternum, above, right, my sternum above my stomach in that space there. And this is the solar plexus chakra. It's the color yellow. And once again, I pay attention to what it looks like. Every once in a while, I check in with my chakras and ask them if they have any messages for me, anything I need to learn or heal from. So sometimes I'll take a moment for that. But in observing my solar plexus chakra, I say to myself, I am divine rhythms of vitality. And I bring my awareness to my heart chakra. It's the color green. I pay attention. I look at it. Ask myself, do I need to open my heart to something? And give my heart the opportunity to express itself. What color is it? What is it doing? And I say to myself, I am divine rhythms of love. And I love the way that radiates through me when I say that. I bring my awareness to my throat. My throat chakra is blue. And I give it a look over. Ask it if it has any messages for me. And when I'm finished, I say I am divine rhythms of communicator. And I move up to my brow chakra, my third eye, in the center of my forehead. And this is the color, this radiates the color indigo. And take a look at what that looks like in my imagination. And I say to myself, I am divine rhythms of vision or sensory perception. Intuition. You can use any of those things that seems right for you. And just take a moment to see what that feels like. Give your intuition an opportunity to talk to you. And then I bring my awareness up to the top of my head, to my crown, where my crown chakra is. That radiates the color violet. And I say to myself here, I am divine rhythms of conscious awareness. And I go one up to my transpersonal point. I like to call this my satellite to the cosmos, my connection to my source. And this is just pure love energy. Just allows love to flow through me all the way down to the earth. And I say, I am divine rhythms of love. And I feel my entire body expand. And I feel radiant and full. And then I bring my awareness up just about a foot further. And this is my creator and source chakra. This is where I bring my awareness to, and I open myself up to receive creator and source conscious intelligence. This is the resource for everything I need to know, everything I need in my life. And this is this place I go to find it. And when you fill yourself full of creator and source energy, and radiating, this is an opportunity to talk with your source. And when you bring yourself back into the room, before you go, bring your attention back to your earth chakra. Wiggle your toes, open your eyes, and be present. And journal. Remember to journal your experience. Mm-hmm. You pay attention to how each experience changes or how each experience is the same.
Mm-hmm. And finally, as we head into this new year, I know you believe that a lot of people are intuitive, mm-hmm. deeply intuitive. Some even do that professionally. But I believe we've talked about this before, how everybody can be intuitive as well.
I believe everyone is intuitive and they just don't know it.
Okay.
Or maybe they do know it and they don't trust it yet.
How can we begin to tap into that ourselves then?
Your intentions. You state your intentions. Mm-hmm. And then you do the things to mm-hmm. help build those muscles. Mm-hmm. Because it's very much a muscle, you know. It's we all have those gifts, but I think if we don't work out our legs, then we're not going to get muscly legs.
Yeah.
You have to build those muscles. You have to spend time in meditation. You have to get books. You have to, you know, decide what your intentions are and growing your intuition. You know, you really have to decide, is this coming from ego? Is this coming from love? Why do I want this? What am I going to do with it?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then I think quite often the universe will bestow things upon you that you need in order to grow, and situations, books, stones, mm-hmm. people, mm-hmm. you know.
So in other words, also be very aware of the signs and synchronicities that are all around you.
For sure.
Every day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Being in the present moment.
Yeah.
It helps you to see
yeah.
the things that you're looking for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How can people contact you if they'd like to get more information and also find out more about what you're doing?
I have an email address. Mm-hmm. You can find me on Facebook, Hearts Smiles Bioenergetic Healing Practice. My email address is B as in boy, L as in love, E as in egg, S as in Sam, mm-hmm. T as in Tom, B as in boy, Y as in yellow, at 888, blessed by 888 at gmail.com.
Yeah.
So it's blestby888 at gmail.com. And then I'm on Facebook as well. I think I have a profile on Instagram, Materia Medica, for sure. You can find me at Materia Medica. I think it's Materia Medica blendingbar.com.
Yes.
If it's not that, then it's some variation of those words.
Yeah.
You can find me at Wild Persimmons School, Herbal School of Wellness there. If we continue doing the plant meditation classes. I see clients for energy. I see clients for spiritual guidance. I see clients for introducing them to practice energy work. Empath clients as well. I teach an empath class and do a private coaching for empaths, and just like meeting people that mm-hmm. need a little bit of guidance. I have fun talking and mm-hmm. just getting to know people. So I welcome, if you're interested in healing with herbs, I think Materia Medica is an awesome place to start. I'm having a lot of fun with herbs. It seems like every time I pay attention to a plant, it's what I need.
Yes.
It's great.
Yes, yes, yes. Materia Medica actually is also, those of you who are listening in the Indianapolis area, down in Greenwood in the building that used to be Jonathan Bird's mm-hmm. many years ago. Mm-hmm. But now it is totally amazing
inside.
It's
gorgeous. It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's been a complete blessing. It's called The Nest. It's just absolutely a gorgeous building, and everyone there has the same mission.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a very, very spiritual place, and you can feel it when you go in the door.
Adrian Villegas, it's always a joy. Thank you for sharing your time with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you every time.
If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Adrian, you can email blessedby888@gmail.com, blessedby888@gmail.com, or go online to materiamedicaspa.com, materiamedicaspa.com. I want to thank you for joining me today as well. And I want to thank Kylan Talley, my engineer and production coordinator, Angel Richardson, for helping to make this possible. I'm Richard Brendan. You've been listening to Journey's Fire, inspiring the fire within you, one broadcast at a time.